Genesis chapter number 46. Now, we've been working through this series on the life of Joseph. Now, we had Pastor Nathan preach last Wednesday night, did a tremendous job. But prior to that, we've been going through the life of Joseph. And if you've been at Anchor Baptist Church, you know that. If you haven't been at Anchor Baptist Church, then you know it now. And tonight, this is our 10th lesson, from the life of Joseph. And tonight the theme is a precious reunion, Where we left off 2 weeks ago was that Joseph has revealed himself to his brothers, and he has sent his brothers back to Canaan, and he has sent them back with wagon loads of goods from Egypt. He has sent them back to Canaan to pick up his father, and his father's name is Jacob. That's right, Jacob. Very good. And so he's gone back. And the specific one of the things that we looked at a couple of weeks ago was that when Jacob saw the wagons, he knew that his son was alive. And we emphasized how that God over and over has given us blessings. He's given us wagons. And let's not overlook the blessings of God. And we'll talk even more about that tonight. And so now where we pick it up tonight is that Jacob and all of this entourage, including everybody that was in Canaan, there was, I believe, 66 people that were in Canaan that were going to leave and make their way to Egypt. And we're picking it up there where, in just as we read tonight, there's going to be a precious reunion. Let's look at Genesis chapter 46 and verse number 26, where the Bible says there, verse 26 of Genesis 46, all the souls that came with Jacob into Egypt, which came out of his loins, besides Jacob's sons' wives, all the souls were 66. That's the 66 that we mentioned a moment ago. Verse 27, and the sons of Joseph, which were born in Egypt, were 2 souls. All the souls of the house of Jacob, which came into Egypt, were 70. That would be 70, of course. And he sent Judah before him unto Joseph to direct his face unto Goshen. And they came unto the land of Goshen, and Joseph made ready his chariot, verse 29, and went up to meet Israel his father to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck, and wept on his neck a good while. And Israel said unto Joseph, now let me die, since I have seen thy face, because thou art yet alive. I draw your attention to that 29th verse of Genesis 46, where the Bible says that he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the opportunity now to open your word, and I pray that your Holy Spirit would teach us. I pray that we would be able to not be distracted by sitting in our homes or sitting in an office or sitting wherever we're sitting tonight, that we're not sitting together on 8585 Armstrong Avenue, but Lord, we're gathered together in the best way that we can, and we're seeking you to do something that cannot be explained by man tonight in our midst. Please, Lord, hide me behind the cross, empty me of self, and fill me with your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. A precious reunion. Joseph had sent plenty of goods and wagons to pick up his father, Jacob, and everyone else in the land of Canaan. As I mentioned a few moments ago, on the way to Egypt, Jacob stops the caravan to worship the Lord and give him thanks. We saw that a couple of weeks ago. These 70 people would be the foundation of the nation of Israel. Chapter 46, verse 26 and 27. Now, I want you to think with me for just a moment about what it was like for Jacob. Think, if you will, about how he is in the land of Canaan and he is headed to see his son. Now, remember, the last time he saw his son, he was a teenager. The last time he saw his son, he was 17 years old. The last time he saw his son, you know, he was trying to maybe getting to the stage of needing to shave. The last time he saw his son, he was just a young boy. He had a coat of many colors on the last time he saw him. The last time he saw his son, he was ruddy and strong. And now years and years have gone by. The last time Joseph saw his father, he was, again, a teenager. Now he's married and has 2 kids, children of his own. I mean, a lot has happened in these years. A lot has happened in these days that have gone by. Imagine what it must have been like for the two of them to anticipate this reunion day, this precious reunion. Maybe you can relate at some point in your life where you were going to meet someone that you hadn't met in such a long time. Maybe you can relate to, some kind of a gathering, or maybe a school reunion, a high school reunion. You know, what is Joe going to look like? I haven't seen Joe in 25 years, you know. What is Sally going to look like? I haven't seen Sally in 30 years. I wonder if she looks like she did in high school. And, we could all make some jokes there, but we won't. Anyway, what must it have been like? I mean, the anticipation, I mean, the butterflies, as some preachers have said, were flying in V formation probably about that time. What it must have been like as the day got closer, finally, to when they would be reunited. I wonder if they thought about the looks, you know, as I mentioned a moment ago. I wonder what my dad looks like now. I wonder what my son looks like now. Will I even know it's him? Will I even know it's still my dad? I think the other way around. I think it would have been harder to recognize Joseph than it would have been for Joseph to recognize his father. But I'm sure those thoughts were coming through their mind. And what a beautiful picture that we see in verse number 29. If you have your Bible open there, and I hope that you have something to maybe take some notes with, and that you'll write some notes down. But just look at that beautiful picture there in verse number 29, a precious reunion. I see a very emotional reunion. It says that he wept on his neck a good while. I don't imagine as I read that that Joseph was in a hurry to stop hugging his father. I don't imagine for a moment that Joseph was in a rush to stop embracing his father. It had been many, many years since they had been together. Decades since they had been together. And I don't think Jacob was wanting to let go of his son. I mean, I personally don't believe that either one of them, and we'll talk about it, I don't think probably either one of them thought this day would ever come. That's why we can see the emotion within this verse of Scripture. And again, read the Bible for what it says. It says that they wept. That's emotion. Read the Bible for what it says, that he fell on his neck. He was overcome by emotion, that I'm finally seeing my son. I'm finally seeing my father. You know, let's go back in our Bibles here to a few verses, because I want us to see that Joseph had made it clear. Once Joseph realized that his father was alive, notice a few verses with me. Go back to chapter number 43, and let's see chapter number 43 and verse number 27. Verse number 27, and it says, "And he asked them of their welfare." Okay, so this is one of the times that here Joseph is talking to his brothers. They don't know it's Joseph. And he asked them and said, "Is your father well? The old man of whom ye spake, is he yet alive?" I mean, here we see the longing of Joseph to know about his dad. Here we see the longing of Joseph to find out about his father. Then flip ahead, if you would, to chapter number 45. Chapter number 45, and let's look at verse number 2. Once again, chapter 45, verse number 2. This is what we talked about a couple weeks ago. "And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph. Doth my father yet live?" Once again, Joseph is trying to find out, hey, is dad still alive? It's me, Joseph. I know I don't look like I did when I was 17. I know I haven't been speaking the Hebrew language. I've been speaking Egyptian. And I know that you probably don't recognize me in these Egyptian duds here, these robes, these Egyptian threads, if you will. But it's me, it's Joseph. But really, what does Joseph want to know? Joseph wants to know, is dad alive? Is my father alive? What a testimony to Joseph there. And his brethren could not answer him. And then flip over, if you will, in the same chapter to verse number 9. Verse number 9, he says to his brothers, "Haste ye, hurry up, get moving, and go up to my father and say unto him, Thus saith thy son Joseph, God hath made me Lord of all Egypt. Come down unto me, tarry not." And in verse number 13 of the same chapter, "And ye shall tell my father of all my glory in Egypt." And he says at the end of it, the end of verse 13, "And bring down my father hither." In other words, here we see over and over again how Joseph is talking to his brothers and he's wanting to know about his father. He's wanting to know about his dad. He's wanting to know, is he alive? And once he finds out he's alive, he says, hey, guys, hurry up. Get back to Canaan. I haven't seen dad in so many years. I want him to meet his grandsons. I want him to meet my wife. I want to get a hold of my father. I've missed him so. He did not refrain from mentioning his father and finding out how his father was doing. Think of what this Jacob's arrival and how prepared and how every detail must have been worked out as we look back at our text, chapter 46, and at the end of the chapter there that we read, it says, and Joseph made ready his chariot. Think about that. As Joseph began to realize that they're getting close, as someone was sent ahead there, it talks about in the text, and Joseph made ready his chariot, and I'm sure Joseph had somebody get the chariot all cleaned up, and I'm sure that Joseph had everything of his, what he was wearing, and that day it was probably the best of the best, and I'm sure that everything was, all of the I's were dotted, and all of the T's were crossed, and everything that all the emotion and all the question and all of that stuff had been built up in Joseph, and now he's just moments away from the reunion, the moment that they had been waiting for. Notice, if you will, again, I want to reemphasize it another time. The Bible says that in verse number 29, that he went up to meet Israel, his father, to Goshen, and presented himself unto him. Joseph presents himself to his father, and he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. Wow. Precious reunion. What a beautiful story this is. What a beautiful event this is. I would have loved to have witnessed something like this. And again, as we consider all of what's happening, if you don't know much about Joseph's life, and this is the first part that you're learning, it doesn't mean quite as much. It still means something. But if you've been on this 10-lesson journey with us, or you've journeyed through the life of Joseph before in your own Bible study, or maybe in your own church, or maybe another time, another place, you recognize what has built up to this point. Oh, so much has built up to this point. It's not just this embrace and this emotion. And why? What's the big deal of holding on to your father like that? Well, so much had happened in both of their lives that this made it a precious reunion. Now, I would like to make an application with, I'd like to give you three thoughts about this precious reunion tonight as we consider the life of Joseph and the life of his dad, Jacob. Number one, I'd like to mention that we, number one, don't miss all the good. Number one, don't miss all the good. Now think about it. What do we mean by this? Well, what could have happened here in this meeting, what could have happened in this, and we don't see this at all, is there's no doubt that Joseph could have made quite the list of unfortunate circumstances that he had been through in his life. I mean, Joseph could have had a notebook of things ready to go with everything written out. He could have had everything written out about how his brothers were mean to him, about how his brothers sold him into slavery, his brothers lied about him, his brothers lied to their father, all this stuff. And all the way through until now, Joseph could have had an entire list made out. Look, you and I probably could have a list like that in our life too. We could have a list made up of all the things that have gone wrong in the last week, the last month, the last year. We could have a list of all the things that our family have let us down, and this person has disappointed us, and our wife has disappointed us, our husband has disappointed us, and the pastor has disappointed us, and the assistant pastor has disappointed us, and, you know, just everybody's disappointed. My boss has disappointed me, and my coworkers have disappointed me, and on it goes. And we could make a list of unfortunate circumstances, and I'm not saying that those unfortunate circumstances aren't heavy for us to carry sometime. But I want to submit to you this. I want you to ask yourself, what good does it do to keep track of them? What good does it do to write them down? What good does it do to keep bringing them up? You know, that's one of the worst things you can do. We've all learned that. If you're married out there tonight, you've learned that. And let me encourage you, husbands and wives, that's the worst thing you can do is keep track of the faults of your mate and bring it up from time to time. We need to just let those things go. We need to move on. But here's the thought. Don't miss all the good. Since being separated from his family, Joseph's life was anything but easy. Joseph's life was like the best roller coaster at the amusement park. There was big hills and there was drop-offs. That was Joseph's life. It was anything but easy. In spite of this, over and over again, we find in the life of Joseph that he maintained a godly spirit. He maintained a godly attitude. He was a forgiving man. He was willing to let his forgive his brothers. He was willing to embrace his brothers. He was willing to take care of his brothers. He wasn't holding a grudge. And before Jacob dies, God allows this very moment, because Jacob's not going to be around much longer. And before that time of death for Jacob, God allows Joseph a very special moment. Now, nowhere do we read in the Bible where Joseph sits down with his dad and says, "Dad, I got to tell you everything about all of my brothers. I got to voice everything that they've done to me." No, we don't voice him. We don't read of him voicing all the gloom and all the doom that he went through. I want to encourage you tonight, wherever you are in your life, wherever you are listening tonight, what we choose to dwell on makes all the difference in our life. You and I have a choice to make. Now, what we don't get to choose is we don't get to choose everything that goes on around us. That's out of our hands. You know, I'm thankful tonight that our God is sovereign. I'm thankful tonight that our God is faithful. I'm thankful tonight that our God is loving. But look, things are going to come into my life that maybe I don't particularly care for. Things are going to come into your life that you don't particularly care for. But you and I have the opportunity to make the right choice when things come into our life. What we choose to dwell on makes all the difference. If you have your Bibles, would you turn over with me to the prophet Isaiah, the 26th chapter of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26. And I'd like to read a familiar verse to you. Maybe it's a verse that you've come to in these days that we're living in. And Isaiah chapter number 26 and verse number 3, the Bible says, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace." Now, I don't know about you, but that's what I'd like to have. I'd like to have perfect peace. Not just peace, but perfect peace. How about you? Do you need some perfect peace in your life tonight? Does this world need some perfect peace in its life tonight? Do churches need perfect peace? Do pastors and people and members and attenders? Yes, we need perfect peace. Well, how do we get perfect peace? The answer is in Isaiah 26:3. It says, "Whose mind is stayed on who? Thee." Whose mind is stayed on thee. And why is our mind stayed on the Lord? The answer is that question is there too. What does it say? "Who trusteth in thee." So as we trust in God, our mind is stayed on God, meaning our mind is focused, it's stayed, it's anchored in the Lord. And in this day in which we live, in 2020, we need a group of people. We need an army of God's people that say, "I'm going to keep trusting my Lord as I walk along. And as I keep trusting my Lord, I'm going to be stayed on Him. And as I'm stayed on Him and I'm anchored in Him, guess what's going to come? Perfect peace. Perfect peace." I believe Joseph was a man who we could pattern our life after, and we could find a man of perfect peace. Then we find in Proverbs chapter 23, Proverbs chapter 23, if you'll just turn back there a couple of pages in your Bible, Proverbs chapter 23, we find another verse of Scripture. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. Proverbs 23 and verse 7. What does the Bible say? It says there, "For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." As he thinketh in his heart, what are you thinking about? What are you letting your mind think about on this first day of April 2020? Where are you letting your mind wander in these days? Yes, it's an interesting day in which we live, but that doesn't give you or me the excuse to let our minds wander from the Word of God, the promises of God, the goodness of God. Number one, don't miss all the good. There's a lot of good right now in your life. There's a lot of good right now in my life. I believe firmly that Joseph is someone who we need to look at tonight and say, okay, there's someone who didn't miss the good. There's someone who went through trial after trial after trial after trial and didn't miss the good. He looked forward to seeing his dad. I mean, what a reunion. Here's some things to jot down and that will help you not miss all the good. Number one, don't forget the day of your salvation. Don't forget the day you got saved. Oh, do you have it written down somewhere? Do you kind of know a little bit about when it was? Maybe you don't have the exact date, time, second place, but maybe you do have that. Write it down a few places in case you forget one of these days, like I'm starting to forget things. And I'm thankful today that in April of 1983, in Chattanooga, Tennessee, I got saved. And I'm looking forward to the day when I get to see Jesus Christ. And if I think about that, if I think about that I'm saved, if I remember that Jesus paid the penalty for my sin, he died, was buried, and rose again, that I could have eternal life, that you could have eternal life, that's a good thing to think about, isn't it? Think about the day you got saved. By the way, if you're listening tonight and you're not saved, we're going to talk about what it means to be saved here in just a little bit. Oh, if you're not saved, you can't have perfect peace. If you don't know the Lord, you can't have perfect peace. And oh, tonight, don't forget the good. Don't miss all the good. When did you get saved? When did you get saved? Remember the day of your salvation. Number two, how to not miss all the good. Don't miss all the good. Number one, do your day of salvation. Sorry. Number two, that you have a copy of the Word of God. A copy of the Word of God. I hope you have your Bible there tonight in your home, and you'll have a hold of it, as I mentioned that on Sunday. And that's something, if you can focus on and think about it, we have God's Word. It's pure. It's infallible. It's preserved. This is the Word of God. It says it of itself, that it is God-breathed. Just like God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life and man became a living soul, we have the Word of God tonight. It is God-breathed. This is God in print. Oh, I'm thankful tonight to have the Word of God. Don't forget. Don't miss all the good. How about this? Be thankful tonight for the church family that you're a part of. Well, I tell you what, I think we might be a little more thankful for our church families, regardless of who's listening tonight. Basically, all of us right now are having church online. Praise God for it. But I hope and pray that if there's one thing that you recognize is the value of the local church, be it 25 people or 2,500 people and everywhere in between, the value of the local church. Don't miss all the good. Nextly, how about the last time you had an answer to prayer? Don't forget about it. Hey, don't forget about it. You know what? I asked you to pray on our Facebook group. I think I asked maybe one night this week. Pray about the rent at the church where we're meeting. And those of you that know about this, we rent a church from the Alliance Church here in Burnaby. And we aren't going to be using that building all of April. The entire month of April, we will not be using the building. We'll be doing everything right here from the church office. And I ask folks to pray. Pray that God would help us with the rent. Pray that God would maybe speak to the heart of the people there, that maybe they would let us get a reduced rate or something. And I put an email to them on whatever day it was, a day or so ago. And I didn't even ask for anything other than just what could we do about it? And they came back with this. Here's a praise. They came back and said, you don't have to pay any rent until you're able to use the building again. You know what? Praise God for that. That's an answer to prayer. Oh, by the way, I had somebody contact me yesterday and say, Pastor Turner, rejoice with me. So-and-so just got saved. I've been witnessing to her and she got saved. You know what? We've been praying for somebody to get saved. Look, the more that you pray, the more that you ask God fervently, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Look, don't miss all the good. We can think about a lot of things tonight and spend all night and be depressed at the end of it. You know what? I'm not going to do that. I'm going to think about the fact that I'm saved and I'm on my way to heaven. I'm going to think about the fact that I have the Word of God. I'm going to think about the fact that God is answering prayers, my prayers. By the way, you can say that. God's answering my prayers. And you ought to be saying, God's answering my prayers. God's providing. How about this? Think about the job that you have. Think about the provision that God is giving you. Maybe you have a retirement. God's providing. Maybe you have work. God's providing. Maybe you're on EI. God's providing. Whatever. God's providing. God, the Bible says that he will not allow the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. Look, we be faithful to God. God will be faithful to us. All I'm saying tonight is, don't miss all the good. Hey, you're healthy tonight. Praise God for it. Maybe your health is a little bit weak tonight. Praise God for the health you do have. I believe Joseph was someone who determined, I'm not going to miss the good. I could have said, hey, as soon as I got a hold of my dad, I could have said, Dad, you know what? But he said, no, I'm going to hold on to this man's neck because I've missed my father. That leads me to the second point. A precious reunion. Number one, don't miss all the good. Number two, honor our parents. Honor our parents. Tonight in our Bible, we read of a good example, a really good example of someone who honored his father. Go with me, if you would, in your Bibles to the book of Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. Exodus chapter 20. The Bible says there in verse number 12, honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Honor thy father and mother. And then in Ephesians chapter number 6, many of you know these verses. Maybe you've memorized these verses. Ephesians 6 verse 1, children, obey your parents. We encourage you, children, obey your parents in the Lord. for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Here is a man by the name of Joseph that we're looking at tonight. And the Bible says that Joseph presented himself unto his father. You know what? Joseph was number two in Egypt. Second in command. Other than Pharaoh, he was all powerful. Joseph did not have to submit himself, present himself, verse 29, to his father. And I believe that word there has to do with a submission to his father. Because Joseph was number one in command. Number two in command. Number one under Pharaoh. What I'm saying is, Jacob, even though he was his father, Jacob was, if you will, under Joseph in the chain of command there. What a beautiful thing we see here. What a beautiful testimony we see. And I hope you're listening, young people that still have mom and dad around. And even if you're an adult and your mom and dad are in their senior years, like mine are getting into their senior years now. But yet here we see a beautiful picture. Even though Joseph was above, if you will, his father, the Bible says here that he presented himself. He submitted himself unto his father. I believe he honored him. I read this quote recently. It says, "It's respect for parents that is the basis for every other kind of respect and every other kind of authority." And you think about that. I read that quote over and over again. Respect for parents is the basis for every other kind of respect and every other kind of authority. You know what? That tells me a lot about our society today. That tells me a lot about the why of our society today. Because I believe we have seen a digression in the honoring of our parents and the respect of our parents. And by the way, I'm preaching mainly right now, if I could say it this way, to the young people, to the college and career of Anchor Baptist Church. Now, this is being live streamed, and that's the part of it as a pastor I'm not used to. Sometimes I just want to talk to the people of Anchor Baptist Church. And I'm speaking right now primarily to those people right now. I want to encourage you as your pastor, and whoever's listening, of course, that you honor your parents, that you honor your parents, that you respect your parents. How do we do that? Let me give you a couple things quickly that I wrote down. Number one, how do we honor our parents? Speak well of them and to them. Speak well of them and to them. You know what? Every once in a while, we need to have some conversations in our house. You know, we've been having the parenting class, and we're having to do that online now too. And it was a great tool, and it still is a great tool. And if you're a part of the parenting class, stay up and be listening to those lessons. But you know what? As a way to honor our parents is speak well of them and to them. Speak well of them. Don't speak negative about them. Don't talk down about them. Don't talk down to them. Look, that's the authority that God has placed in your life. That's the authority that God has placed in my life. Respect them. Number two, seek their advice. How do we honor our parents? Seek their advice. Ask them questions. Look, if you have decisions that are upcoming, you should want the wisdom, and yes, they don't have all the answers, because I know I'm one and I don't have all the answers, but seek their advice. This is a way to honor our parents. I'm so thankful that I've had many, many, many opportunities to seek the advice of my dad, seek the advice of my mom, and I'll just say it this way, and I don't mean to be, again, negative about it, but seek the advice while they're still alive. I'm quite sure that some of you listening would love to call your dad and mom, but you can't do that anymore. I'm not trying to be unkind, but I'm speaking to those that still have parents that are alive, and I know you would echo this sentiment. Speak to them. Seek their advice. Nextly, forgive them. Forgive them. How can you honor your parents? How can you honor your father? Forgive them. Yes, they are human. Yes, they are going to have bad moments, bad days. They might even have a bad month. Forgive them. And I want to encourage you parents, man enough and woman enough, if you can say it that way, to seek forgiveness from your children when you've wronged them. How can you honor the parents that you have? Be willing to forgive them. And lastly, number four, how can we honor our parents? Support them. Support them. Take care of them. They're not your maid. They're not your servant. we as children under the roof of our family, we should be serving our parents. Yes, you're not our maid either, and I don't want to treat my kids that way, and my servant or my slave, if you will. But as if showing honor to whom honor is due. Remember Joseph's example, second in command in Pharaoh. He presented himself to his father. He, if you will, he humbled himself. Yes, he should have. It was his dad, but he didn't have to, being in the position that he was there in Egypt. So, number one, don't miss all the good. Number two, honor our parents. And number three, and lastly, don't delay doing good. Don't delay doing good. The day will come when we won't be able to make something right. Look, Joseph, this is an unbelievable story. Doesn't always come together quite like this, isn't it something? That Joseph was able to get reunited with his brothers. Joseph was able to get reunited with his father. Joseph was able, not that he had to make anything right with his father, there wasn't anything of that, but he definitely made things right with his brothers as he had the opportunity. The day will come when we will not be able to express our love to someone. Don't delay. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for it. Look, sir, there's going to come a day where you might not be able to express your love to your wife. Ma'am, there's going to come a day where you might not be able to express your love to your husband. God may call him home. God may call her home. I'm not, again, just take advantage of the opportunity. Don't delay in doing good. The Bible says of the Lord Jesus Christ in Acts 10:38 that he went about doing good. He went about doing good. You know what we need right now? We need an army of Anchor Baptist Church people. We need an army of God's family to seek for ways they can do good. To seek for ways they can do good, not just to their family and to the church family, but to the entire bubble of people that they are around, the sphere of influence. Take advantage of every opportunity. Again, I believe Joseph thought this day would never come. I'm sure Joseph had already given up seeing his father again. This reunion was miraculous. This reunion was precious. God gave him that opportunity to be reunited with his dad. Don't delay doing good. Go with me in your Bibles, please, to the Gospel according to Luke. And we're bringing it to an application here at the end, a conclusion. In Luke chapter number 16, verse 23. Luke 16, 23. Don't delay in doing good. Look what it says in Luke 16, verse 23. And in hell, he lift up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. The story here is rich man and Lazarus. Jesus is telling. Lazarus and the rich man have both died. Lazarus was caught up into Abraham's bosom, verse 22. But the rich man went to hell. No question in my mind that the Bible teaches that there is a hell. No question in my mind that it teaches that hell has fire in it. And it's right here in this text. Verse 24, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in cool water, and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. This is the rich man, who had everything you could ever want when he was alive. The Bible says that even. Look at verse 25. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime. And you know what? Here's an amazing thing about this person in hell. And I believe it's not just for the rich man. I believe it's for everyone in hell. We find here that in hell we have a memory. We have a memory. He remembers his brothers, doesn't he, later on in the verses. So that goes all contrary to, I'm just going to die and that's going to be the end of it. Or I'm just going to die and go to hell and we're going to have a big party. No, that's not what I read about hell. Here we see that this man has a memory, this rich man. And he says in verse 25, Abraham speaking to the rich man, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, You had everything you could ever desire that was excellent. And likewise, Lazarus, evil things. But now he is comforted. The tables have turned. I have that written in my Bible. The tables have turned. And thou art tormented. You had it all when you were alive. He had nothing. And now the tables have turned. Lazarus has it all. He's in heaven. The rich man is in hell. He has nothing. And he says, beside all this, verse 26, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed. Maybe you'd like to underline those three words, great gulf fixed. You know what that tells me? That tells me this. That tells me that once someone dies without Christ, once someone goes out into eternity without accepting the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, that there is a great gulf fixed between wherever they're going for that period of time and wherever the believer is going for that period of time, going to heaven, presence of the Lord, absent from the body, presence of the Lord, going to hell, there's a gulf fixed. What does that tell me? That tells me that once you die without the Lord Jesus Christ, you have no hope of heaven. You have no hope of getting out of eternal fire, of eternal damnation and punishment forever. I submit to you, don't delay getting saved. Don't delay. Maybe you're listening to this tonight and you're saying, you know what, I'm not saved. I'm not a Christian. I've never accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior. Don't delay. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse number 2, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Right now, tonight, the first day of April 2020, whatever time it is, wherever you're listening, it's time for you to get saved. It's time for you to humble yourself. It's time for you to stop saying no to God and saying yes to God. It's time for you to repent of your sin and unbelief and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. It's time for you to be saved. Don't delay doing good. You, my friend, do not have any promise of tomorrow. I have no promise of tomorrow, but I know this. April 1983, as I said a few moments ago, my salvation was settled. The old account was settled for me. It was settled at Calvary, but I accepted it in 1983, many, many, many years ago. And I'm thankful tonight that if I don't wake up in the morning, I know I'm going to be with Jesus. How about you? Don't delay getting saved. If you're not saved tonight, get saved. Dear Christian brother, don't delay doing something good for someone. Don't delay getting something right with someone. Don't delay expressing your love to someone. Don't delay. What a beautiful, miraculous, precious reunion this was. Last time they saw each other, Joseph was obeying his dad about that. Joseph, I want you to go check on your brothers. Okay, Dad. That's the last time they saw each other. 17 years old. Now he's married, second in command, has two sons. Let's go back to our text and we'll be done. Genesis 46, 29. And Joseph made ready his chariot and went up to meet Israel, also known as Jacob, his father, the Goshen. Don't miss that word presented. You know, I'd circle that, I'd underline that. Presented himself unto him. And he fell on his neck and wept on his neck a good while. What a precious reunion. Don't miss all the good. Honor your parents and don't delay.